Welcome to Hope Is Here. Continue my conversation with Brewster McLeod, a youth pastor, and then a guy just headed up a lot of wonderful ministries his last 20 years. Now is the founder of McLeod's Coffee House, a wonderful ministry over on Southland Drive near Winchell's and what's the tuxedo place?
Geno's.
I'm sorry.
Winchell's, Geno's.
Yeah, Winchell's and Geno's. But we're going to be talking about that coffee house in a couple programs. But Bruce, we wrapped up yesterday. You were talking about youth ministry, Hillendale, then Southland, moved out to where it is now, Harrodsburg Road, Jessamine County. Talk a little bit about what that move was like.
Yeah, so, you know, I remember going to Buddy Mossbarger's house in Stonewall, and it was Wayne and I. And we were taking a look at a list of people that are going to stay back at 371 and people take a look at people who are going to move to 5100 Harrodsburg Road. And it was killing me because some of these high school kids that were Lafayette and they lived a block or two blocks or a mile from Southland on Hillendale, they were going to stay back. And these adults were going to stay back, and they were going to start Hillendale, which, you know what, in hindsight, I look back and go, it embarrasses me that that my pride got in my way. I was concerned about numbers. I mean, like, dang, I'm going to lose these 100 people. Whereas you're really investing in a church in Hillendale. Wayne, though, never, ever, ever felt like was intimidated by people who were staying back. Was intimidated by Wayne Holcomb. Wayne Holcomb's a great man and his wife and kids. But there was a little bit of that youthfulness in me that I just didn't like. They were, you know, in my territory.
Sure.
I've learned that's totally different. Listen, when someone says today that they're going to blah, blah, blah church, they're not South anymore. Listen, the important thing, Greg, is that do they love Jesus? That's the important thing. It's no longer, and so it's not a threat. Even when Wayne was here, it wasn't a threat that they chose to go to blah, blah church or drive to another church in Louisville or Frankfort. Just doesn't matter. Even working right here, this young lady behind me, she drives a long way. She passes a lot of churches, but that's a compliment to the church in Nicholasville that she drives there because that's where she feels, you know, accepted and she wants to be ministered into and to also to serve. And so, yeah, those early days, but they were great. And then 2 years later, we moved to Hillendale. And so my last intern was Dave Stone. So I was Dave Stone's youth minister in Cincinnati when I was a senior, and he was a senior at Oak Hills High School in Cincinnati, Ohio. Then I had him as an intern. He stayed with Jack and Bev Williams, and then we moved out, and that was my last intern. And then I got Monty the next summer, and then Monty stayed on with us for a number of years. And so, you know, my having interns was a big thing. I mean, if we had time, I could name the last 20 years of interns of youth ministry, and every one of them have made a big effect. And I feel like not just Brewster, but Monty, myself, Todd, all the ones, Wayne had a big effect. I mean, they were honored, and it was just a 3-month internship. It was they came after school was over, May. 2 weeks, June, July, August, 2 or 3 weeks, and then that was it. Now you're seeing people having year-long internships, which is a great thing. And even who replaced me was an intern that we had, Chapman Bean. He took my place with Access Ministry. So interns, a lot of interns have been hired at Southland.
We'll talk a little bit about Three Musketeers. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I know Todd, Monty Wilson, Todd yourself. Talk about the fun that you guys had doing ministry together. And also, I'm sure there had to be a little trouble occasionally, too.
Yeah, not real bad trouble, but we had a great time doing ministry. You know, Wayne's thought was just laughing is a good thing because he said, I gotta laugh a lot because I cry a lot. Mm. And so you understand that. I mean, I think a lot of times I would go into Sunday school or high school ministry or Wednesday night, student impact or Bible rap, and my teenagers, they didn't know that I had just buried twins, babies, or they didn't know that I had just buried a teenager that was killed in a car wreck. Now, 40 years later, they get it. Because maybe their daughter died, or maybe their mom and dad died, or something like that. And so it's interesting when after you've been here 42 years, now my teenagers are going, now I get it, why it was difficult for you to spend a lot of time with us that day or that weekend, because you had just buried someone, or you had just had a tragedy in the church, you know, And so I don't think it caused me even to look back in youth ministry in my days. No wonder my preacher couldn't do this or didn't do that or didn't talk to me on a certain day. He had just had a major funeral. You know what I mean? Just like yesterday, Greg Chandler having the funeral of that young lady that died at 39 years old. Mm-hmm. So It's an honor to do those things, but I don't think everyone realizes that it does take a toll on you. Mentally, it really does.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and yet I always used to hear Wayne say a cheerful heart is, you know, medicine to the soul, and so
he would say a merry heart is medicine. We'll talk about that later too, but a merry heart or a happy heart or a laughing heart is medicine to the soul, and he says I take a lot of medicine.
Yeah, amen. Definitely have to do that. We'll talk about, I know there's a book, The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, that just really impacted you personally in ministry. Share a little bit about that, because, you know, there may be some people listening that aren't familiar with that
book.
Sure,
probably. The Word of God is the greatest impact on my life, first off, totally on my life. However, about 23 years ago, Tony McRae and Donnie Liebert, they exposed the book to me, and it was called Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. And he let me borrow it for a Kentucky teen convention, and they were doing the worship, and I kept it for 2 or 3 days of that convention, and then it was time for us to separate, and I went, hey, can I just keep this? He went, oh, no. He wouldn't let me, and so I was flying out to California, and so as soon as I landed in L.A., I went straight to a bookstore and got Ragamuffin Gospel. I probably have given 1,000 copies of that book away, and I'll quote Brennan Manning, because he said that Jesus had a strange attraction for the unattractive. He had a strange love for the unlovely, and he had a strange desire for the undesirable. He said the mystery of that is that Jesus does what he sees the Father doing. He loves those whom the Father loves. Mm-hmm. That just struck a nerve with me in chapter 3. If you're not sure about the book, you start in chapter 3, and you will return to chapters 1 and 2 and the forward, and then you'll jump up to chapters 4 through 12. It made a radical impact. We were not doing the Jesus prom. However, we were going in youth ministry where we were doing an outreach for a special needs place off of Armstrong Mill, and it was called Accepticon. And we would load up. We would fill up 3,000 helium balloons at my house. We would probably waste half of the helium by singing Follow the Yellow Brick Road, you know, and that probably wasn't even good for our brain cells. However, we did it. And then we would get a keg of Kool-Aid. We'd get gobs of cookies, and we would take those balloons on the bus, get out, and I would pray the prayer, Lord, help us to be Jesus to these men and women who were mentally and or physically challenged or handicapable. And we would pass them out. And we would play kickball. And I remember one of the special needs caught the kickball, and he ran right into his apartment. So he stole our kickball.
Game over.
Game over. No more. And the balloons were gone. The Kool-Aid was gone. The cookies were gone. But they had a great time. Mm. And that was the first Jesus-type party. And it was based on Luke 14:12, which is the prom, is based on that. And so that was very ragamuffin. Then the book came along, passed my way. And I want to tell you, Janie Lewis then was influenced by Bruce Reed, because of Ragamuffin Gospel. Mm. So here's this Brennan Manning, who was a priest, started out as a priest in the Roman Catholic Church. I think he got married, and so he didn't get booted out, but he no longer was a priest. And I don't think he went through a divorce. He went through a hard time. He became an alcoholic during that time, and this is in his testimony. And then he was homeless on the beaches of Tampa in Florida. And then he pulled himself up by the grace of God, and he wrote the book Ragamuffin Gospel. The word ragamuffin is one who is totally dependent on the grace of God. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what ministry you do. We're not going to heaven because I'm doing this or I've done that or you're doing this or you've done that. We're going to heaven, first off, because of the grace of God. Oh, for the grace of God, you know. And so that book really influenced me. And so every prison I go to, every hellraiser I meet, they get that book because it's influenced me. Every sober person or unsober person should get that book. And I'm not trying to – Mr. Brennan Manning, he died about 2 years ago, but I did go to Atlanta, and I heard him speak in live. Oh, it was awesome. He was an awesome, wonderful man. Oftentimes, I would call down in Baton Rouge where his office was, and I would simply call because he would answer the phone. He had no secretary. He'd go, Brennan Manning, Ragamuffin Gospel. And I would just kind of stutter and go, Brennan, we're starting another Ragamuffin Gospel class. And he said, Brewster, I know you are because I'm looking at what's printing out of what's selling in Lexington at the Christian bookstores.
Wow.
And so that's the only reason I would call him, because I got to hear him over the phone. And so, you know, he was a common man, but but he's home now. And so, but he has made a big impact. And Brennan Manning and Rich Mullins also made a big impact. Mm. So Rich Mullins, Ragamuffin Band. Oh, that's right. On the front cover of the Ragamuffin Gospel is Rich Mullins sitting at a church building on the steps. And so Rich Mullins and Brennan Manning also got to connect all those years ago.
Wow. Well, I did not realize that part of Brennan Manning's story about all that he went through.
Yep.
So you're talking about a guy that had to find hope numerous times. I mean, that's a real story of hope there.
Major hope. So, I mean, so every AA, every SA meeting, every GA meeting, they really need Ragamuffin Gospel. And I'll tell you, I went to Judge Rebecca Overstreet mm-hmm. about 10 or 15 years ago, and maybe she was in the class with us. And I said, and she said, Brewster, I want 10 of those books, 10 of those Ragamuffin Gospels. And she put them in when the new jail opened up. You know what I mean? After Sabatini built that new jail, mm-hmm. and she put them in every pod. You know what I mean? Wow. And I'm sure they got used in a mighty way. But I want to tell you, every prison, every jail cell should have Ragamuffin Gospel along with the Word of God. Manning would say, to be broken is to stand in the need of grace. And he would say, brokenness leads to wholeness.
Mm.
Yeah, it meant a lot.
Wow. Brokenness leads to wholeness. Wow. I know somebody listening today needed to hear that and may feel like God could never restore you or use you. But as you hear that story there that Brewster McLeod shared with the Ragamuffin Gospel book, the story by Brennan Manning, you need to check that out. I know you would be blessed. So, well, Brewster, talk about, you've done so many funerals, man, and some of them just have been gut-wrenching, from children, killed in automobile accidents, or a parent that ends their life, unfortunately, by suicide. Just talk about, man, how do you prepare for that? And because that takes a special gift, man. Having done that about 17 years myself, my respect has gone up even more if that was possible for you. Talk a little bit about just how you prepare your heart and how you try to comfort families during that time.
You know, so in the early years, I had to watch Wayne, and Wayne would let me go with him to a house. And I know things have changed in some way, especially during the whole, COVID-19, but they have changed, but people are still dying, and you got to be ready. And so there's a trust in the Lord. But, I would go with Wayne to the house. I mean, and to be honest, in a plain, simple way, he would always go by KFC and get a bucket of chicken, because what we're doing, we're going to the house, we're going to their kitchen table. Table fellowship is a big thing, sitting around the table, and we're really having a therapy session for the family. Mm. And he probably, somewhere along the way, he put a bucket of chicken there, and whether we had napkins, beans, potatoes, that doesn't matter. We had a bucket of chicken, and he said, Brewster, people will talk around a bucket of chicken. Mm. And what we're doing is we're having a therapy session about your dad, Mr. Horn, good man, and your brothers and sister and your mama's there, and we're just talking. We're laughing. We're praying. We are crying. It makes me very emotional just because, you're gathered around to remember that person, and there are tears, but then all of a sudden you're laughing. That's just a great thing. And so, funerals are a way to, Wayne would say, would be, we're growing a church, but it's like weddings and funerals. But I think it's so important for you to gather with a family. It helps. And I know a lot of times you can't do that, but I think it's so important to gather with a family, help them, and then you're going to give honor to whom honor is due. And you can't pay a counselor enough for what that 2 or 3 hours is in their house, around their table, talking about their dad or their son or their daughter. And you leave, and there is a sense of, I got my stuff ready to do the funeral with their blessing, and we know what they're going to do, and the music and all. But that's something to me that I guarantee you Greg Chandler met with that family when he preached that funeral yesterday. And he had to, because no one wants an impersonal funeral. You want a personal funeral, that which is so important.
Absolutely. Well, we're out of time, but stay with us. Tune in tomorrow, Brewster. We're going to talk about Jesus Prom, just an unbelievable event that started in 2000 and still just having an impact big time. So join us again tomorrow as Brewster McLeod's our guest on Hope Is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.